Today's daily word is grace. I gratefully accept God's grace. Letting go of the struggle to make things happen or achieve specific results can be a challenge. I may shoulder so much and work so hard that I exhaust myself. At these times, I remember that God's grace is always available to me, and I never have to rely solely upon my own efforts. I release my grip on specific outcomes and surrender my wants and needs to the grace of Spirit. No matter what is going on in my life, I remain open to the good that I know is present. I let go of my concerns in the knowledge that the blessing of Spirit are so much better than anything I can imagine. Grace can come to me as ideas that help me discern what is mine to do. I yield to the grace of God and open myself to receive it. From His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. John 1:16. So this year we continue with perfect vision as our theme, seeing through a spiritual lens. And it has been one heck of a ride, hasn't it? So we are looking this month at facing the fear and thinking it, feeling it, and believing it. That's been the premise as we come into September, as everyone's been thinking about this idea that is there this second wave that's coming on. And so I'm focusing on ideas of faith. And this particular, let's say, exploration is on I doubt it. Now I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever doubted? And about anything. I know you have. I have too. But have you ever doubted that all of this stuff about God and everything that we've read and heard and everything is just malarkey and like it's just not, it can't be true, and you really have a question in faith? I know I have, and I'm sure you have too, depending on to the extent that you have dived deeply into this idea of spirituality and what God is all about. And you're in good company, because throughout the ages, everyone who has been on a spiritual journey has questioned whether God actually exists, whether this oneness actually exists, whether God is good. How could God be good based on some of the things that we see? So let's explore this. So we're going to look at three words: faith, belief, and knowing. Now, something I'd like you to think about, I don't know if you speak any other languages. I do. I speak actually four different languages and a little bit of a fifth one. And it's really interesting that the word faith and belief in many languages is the same word. But in English, faith is one word, belief is another. In Finnish, for instance, faith and belief are the same word, usko. And so it really depends on the culture of the individual that you're speaking to as to whether they're on the same page with you or not when you say, I believe something or I have faith in something. But I'd like to explore that from the, we'll say, Canadian perspective. So who are you? And I know you might say, well, I'm a human being having a spiritual experience. Or what else might you say? Like Emilio, for instance, if I said to you, who are you? What would you say?
I am a human being having a spiritual experience.
There you go. And, you know, it's interesting because as we're on this spiritual path.
It's the other way around. I am in spirit having a human being experience.
Okay. And it's a bit like the idea of Jesus, where that first he was Jesus the carpenter, Jesus the man, then he was Jesus Christ, and then he became Christ Jesus, and then he became the Christ. So I think we all kind of started out being the human being having a spiritual experience, right? And then moved into, as we do this work, being a spiritual being having a human experience, and that there's so much more, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So the I, what is the I? And you may have a totally different answer for this than I do. And it's based on the experiences that you've had that have built up in your life, and you have made certain conclusions and come to certain conclusions about who you actually are and how you interact with life. The I, the me, in my opinion, is the formless awareness in which all experience occurs. And if you've had the opportunity to be in meditation or to sit quietly and contemplate, you'll notice that you have in your mind a couple of things going on. One that is observing your thoughts and one that is having your thoughts. And that may have taken a while to come to that recognition, or maybe you're just having that recognition right now. But the thing is that you are that silent observer, that formless awareness, which is the creator of all experience. That is your connection to the divine. That is how the divine sees you through that awareness. And you can believe me or not, but I'd like you to take some time this week to really go into the silence and see if you can't notice that you have someone observing the thoughts that you're having and that they're happening in you both at the same time. So five things that you can do if you've ever doubted your faith. I remember early on in preaching and teaching and doing these lessons, I had a woman come to me and say, you know, but there's so much terrible going on in the world, and I'm really concerned about the people in another country or another continent, and how could God allow for these kind of things to happen? And she was really doubting the faith that she had at the moment. And I understood that struggle. And the thing is that she needed to define for herself who God is, or what God is. And so I invite you, as I explore this a little further, to think about what is your definition of God for you. And it's not so much does God exist, but I'd like you to go even deeper and say, is God good all the time? So let's go into these five things that you can do if you've ever doubted your faith. Number one, never base your beliefs on your circumstances. So if things are happening, many of us say, oh, well, that's just the way that it is. Like even flu season or anything else that you could use as an example. Those are external circumstances that if you choose to believe them, they become your reality. And so every September or every August or every December, the same thing happens to you because your belief system says that that's in fact what's going to happen. So I'm suggesting to you that if you're having trouble with your faith in God, then stop and think when you have a moment and you're having an experience and you're putting the power out there into that circumstance, that you basically have within you the power to change your mind, to create your own reality based on your thoughts and beliefs, not what's going on out there. So in Judges chapter 6-8, Gideon, like many of us, doubted his own abilities. He put God to the test, not once, but three times. Now Gideon was a fighter for the people, and he was kind of leading the troops. They had come out of Egypt already, and he really was doubting that they could survive. They didn't have a lot of food left, and people were hungry, and they seemed to be losing more battles than they were winning. And so he had been told by an angel from God that this was his to do. And so he finally just said to God three different times, you've got to prove to me that it's really you who's saying this, that you want me to do this. And there are many examples in the Bible of great people doubting their faith. They argue and they lament with God, and if you're someone who is a Bible enjoyer or scholar, there are many, many really great stories of them doubting God. So in the case of Gideon, he says to God, "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the hand of Midian is the people who are trying to oppress them and trying to take them over. And they're starving, and they figure, gee, you know, we got out of Egypt, and now here we are suffering yet again. So he says to the angel from God, he says, "You know what? See this sheepskin here?" And it was in his tent. He said, "In the morning, when I wake up, if this sheepskin is damp from dew, then and the ground around it is dry, then I will do as you say." So he goes to sleep, he wakes up, and the sheepskin is damp from dew, and the ground around it is dry. And he's terrified, like, this has to be a coincidence or something. So the next night, he says, "Lord, if the ground is damp around this sheepskin, but this sheepskin is dry, then for sure I will do what you ask." Well, guess what happened? He wakes up the next morning, the ground around is damp, and the sheepskin is dry. And he knows for sure that the words that he was told to do, the things that he was asked to do, was being guided to do, were from God. Now, I know that this may not even be a true story, but the idea of it is that you can ask Spirit for guidance in terms of knowing for sure if that's in fact what's yours to do by simply asking. There's actually a woman who wrote two books and has a huge following worldwide. And one of the books is called E Squared, and the second book is called E Cubed. And she has exercises in each of the chapters that you can do to prove that you actually live in an interactive universe, that God responds to you. And it's so awesome because it's done in contemporary language. She doesn't really speak about God or anything having to do with religion, but has these little exercises that you can do to prove that you do have this connection. I invite you to take a look at it. It's E Squared, and I think it might be Pamela Grout who wrote it. So number two, turn to God rather than away. Ask for clarity for doubts that you may be having. And that's what I'm saying here now, is that if you doubt that God exists in your life, turn to God in the sense of take a moment just and even pretend that God exists. And ask for clarity. Say, make it so obvious to me that this is in fact what I'm meant to do, that I know that it's coming from you, a bit like Gideon. So you're always met right where you are. I mean, God doesn't wait for you to be really good at something or any of that. You don't have to do anything special. You can be just who you are, just where you are. You're not condemned or made to look foolish. The answer that Spirit has, that God has, that the universe has, is always yes. So if you ask for guidance, if you ask for clarity, if you ask for proof of existence in a way that you can understand, the answer is yes. And then be ready, be open, be expectant to receive the answers. Doubt is not a negative thing. And some people are so ashamed, you know, in their spiritual journey, they really, truly want to believe. And then they have this crisis of faith, and then they're ashamed that how could they, with all that they know and everything that they've experienced? But there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's not a negative thing, especially if it propels you to a deeper level of seeking spiritual understanding. Allow it to be a catalyst. So often doubt can actually strengthen your faith rather than weaken it. Number three, pay attention to the signs. If you really pay attention, you will see evidence. And I'm thinking about one of the the experiments that we had in that book, E Squared. And she said, think of a car in an unusual color and then go out in the world and expect to see it where somewhere. And so I remember thinking, okay, I thought of a really unusual color of green and thought, there's no way that anybody's even made a car like that, let alone that I'm going to see that car. Well, I saw three of them in the next 3 days, and I had never noticed them before. Was it just that I didn't notice them, or was it that in my awareness of spirit and my interaction with it, they manifested? I don't know, but it certainly gave me reason to ponder. Look at the things that only God can do. And that might be a resolution to something that you just have no idea of how to resolve. Number four, don't condemn yourself if you're having doubts. You are in good company. Like I was telling you, all of the masters, many of them anyways, in the Bible, are telling you about the struggles that they had as they're attempting to follow God's guidance. I mean, even the greatest saints of all times are going to have times of doubt, and that's normal, because the thing is that we're not meant to be lemmings or sheep that just follow what someone says. I often will say to you in this type of an exchange, don't believe what I say, prove it to yourself. Because the thing is that once you prove it to yourself, it makes this huge difference in your life. You have this new, higher level of faith in something when you have experienced it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. Who said that? That was Jesus. So here's someone who basically, for at least half of his life, walked as Jesus Christ, knowing fully that he was one with the all that is, and that he was divinely guided. And yet at the end of his days, he had a human moment. He had a moment of doubt. And it was only when he recognized that everything else had worked out for him exactly perfectly, that this somehow must be exactly perfect as well, that he released and he let go. And then there was his resurrection. So know that, you know, if you're struggling, you're not alone. Some of the greatest master teachers show us that that's part of the journey, part of the spiritual journey. So yes, have doubts, but don't stay there. Turn to God, turn to life, turn to the universe, whatever it is that you choose to call this energy, this essence that is at the foundation of every one of us, and ask for guidance, ask for proof. Number five, not all your questions are going to get answered. Now, I want you to hear that. Not all your questions are going to get answered. Because the thing is that there is so much going on in this world. So many desires and different people and different experiences that they're choosing to have. And the thing is that if you're waiting for all of your questions to be answered before you have faith in God, you'll never experience faith. It's a bit like if you wanted to be a teacher, but you waited till you were perfect before you were a teacher, then you're never going to be a teacher. Or if you ever wanted to be a good cook, but you never cooked, how are you ever going to cook and get good at it? So the thing is, recognize that not all of your questions are going to be answered, because each of us is an individualized expression of spirit, and we're each here to experience something that is uniquely ours to experience. And so someone else over there may be having a different experience, and you are wondering why it is that God isn't intervening. Well, God does not intervene unless you ask for God's help. And they may not have asked. They may not want it. So focus on you instead, because that's where your power is. Expecting to have a complete understanding of the infinite principle of God is actually an unrealistic expectation. How can you possibly wrap your mind around something that is infinite, that has all of the knowledge, all of the wisdom, and is timeless? How can someone like me, who is captured within this body, in this life experience, really understand the full realm of what's going on? I never can. And I've made peace with that. But I know as I ask, I can have experiences that are at the level that I'm at to understand what it is that I'm looking for. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Your faith in the larger awareness you call God must come from a deeper understanding of your own self. And that's really the foundation of it. If right now you don't believe that you are one with God, then until you do, until you've proved that to yourself, that you are living, breathing, and having an experience within this interactive energy and this interactive principle that we call God, then you really can't experience the other things. And that there's nothing wrong with that. The thing is that I invite you now to really think about, what is your understanding of yourself? And I mean, Emilio and I spoke about that earlier, about starting out being a human being, having a spiritual experience, to becoming, having an awareness that we're each a spiritual being having a human experience. And eventually, I think, we'll all get to the place of being a spiritual being, and that the human side of it is just the vehicle that is getting us from here to there. The fundamental essence of your being is the essence of all being. And I can say that, and they're nice words, but the thing is, until you know that that is true, then those words mean nothing. You can't have faith until you go inward, until you go beyond appearances, until you engage in contemplative self-inquiry and question your perceptions. That's what meditation and prayer is for, to connect with something greater than who you are. You can't have faith until you notice how your intentional choices affect your reality. What you focus on grows. That's the third principle in unity. What you focus on grows. So what you think about most of the time is how your life shows up. Once you do that, your faith is no longer a cover-up for uncertainty. And hear that. Once you do that, your faith is no longer a cover-up for uncertainty. Because I think when we first start on this spiritual journey, there's this real desire to know and to believe and to have faith. But it's really up here in our minds. It's not in the soul of our being, in our hearts. At least I know it wasn't for me. And so I was walking the walk, hoping to eventually experience the experience. So that's what I mean about being a cover-up for uncertainty. So do you believe that most people's faith is a cover-up for uncertainty? I think a lot of people are covering up their doubts, their insecurities, their disbelief under the guise of they have faith by perhaps reading spiritual books, watching programs like this, going to church on Sunday. It doesn't mean that every one of them is uncertain, but it certainly means that many are, and that's okay. Most people really do want to believe, though. They really do, because there is something so beautiful about this concept that life is love, that life is supportive, that life is benevolent, even in spite of all of the stuff that's going on. It's a desire that is within each of us, I believe, to want to not only believe it, but really experience it and know it to be true. I mean, eventually, your knowledge is more than learning. You become that awareness. And that's the encouragement in this. If there's been one person in the world who has been able to make that connection with spirit, then you and I can too. So how do you keep the faith when the unthinkable happens? You know, when people lose lose family members through accidents or illness, and maybe you have most recently. And how do you continue to have faith when the unthinkable happens? Well, I'll begin with the concept of what do you believe that God is, and what do you believe that God does? And what do you believe is your relationship with God? And do you for an instant believe that that person's relationship is any different than yours? And so if they have transitioned or something has occurred, it's a personal relationship with spirit, and it's part of the mystery of life, and it's part that can really be difficult because we feel so much that we want that person still in our lives, or we don't want them to suffer. I understand that. That's our human compassion. That's the love of who we are. But the thing is, there is something bigger going on here. And how to keep the faith when the unthinkable happens comes from making it a deliberate decision to say to spirit, soothe me, guide me, give me ideas that allow me to really understand this in a way that brings me peace. And you can ask the question, will I be okay? Short answer, you'll be better and stronger after all of it. The long answer, life's a mystery. Why do you have to go through suffering? That's a good question, and there's a mystery to that. And certainly, I could do what they call metaphysical malpractice and say, well, something in your thinking has created that, and so stop thinking like that. And part of that is true. On some level, each of us has caused the experiences that happen in our lives. The thing isn't to focus on what has happened, it's to focus on what are you going to do now moving forward. Faith is the willingness to walk into the unknown. The highest faith is in yourself. You have the resources of spirit to find a way out of suffering. Are you ready to ask for help? Ask yourself every day, what is the good that's going to come out of this? So just think about something right now in your life and say, what is the good that's going to come out of this? I actually had a conversation this week with someone, and it was about a challenging experience. And he said to me, tell me what's the good in this? And so we explored that, and we came up with a half a dozen different things that were good things that were going to or had already evolved as a consequence of that event. And that just felt so much better. It didn't change that the event happened, but it opened up to the possibility of feeling better. And isn't that what it's all about? If you do that and stay centered and don't get anxious, the answer will come. And there's the key, is don't get anxious. Take the time every day, especially under stressful times, to get centered, to get quiet, and to just ask for guidance. That's the only faith you really need, is that the unknown is mysterious, is good, and is being orchestrated, and you are part of that. And I say that because I know that to be true. I know spirit is good and loving and supportive of me. I've proved it in my life many, many times. And you may see me one day doubting it. I may, and have. The thing is that I have more, let's say, brownie points on the side of things being good and benevolent and positive than I do on the negative side of things. And that's what I bank on. There's a part of you that is divine, so keep that faith and trust your inner being. Faith is knowing your true self and trusting your true self. So going beyond knowing and experience to the source of all knowing and experience, God, Spirit, Creator, is where I invite you to begin. The source of knowing and experience, you're actually that. It resides within you. It's as close as you're asking. So what do you think about this? When you believe something is the case, it implies that you don't know. Now, here's that semantical thing I was talking about, where depending on the languages that you speak, when you say, I believe, is that the same as you know? Or is there a question mark there? Just a question. You have no evidence for it, but you believe it. So what word would you use if you have no evidence for it, but you believe it? I'd still use the word believe, because for me, faith and belief are synonymous with knowing. It may not be for you. You wouldn't say, I believe this chair, in this chair. It's right here. You know this chair is right here. Well, I can say, I believe this in this chair, and I also know in this chair, and I have faith in this chair, because they all mean the same to me. But they may be different for you. So I think that faith is a deep sense of trust. You are part of the divine consciousness, not your consciousness and God's consciousness. Now, I'd like you to see the distinction there. You know, we talk a lot about our own mind, our own consciousness, but that there really is only one consciousness. It's that silent observer that is within you, that is connected to the all that is. There is no separation in that scenario. It's not about my consciousness and God consciousness. It's all God consciousness. The distinction is in my awareness of that consciousness. I am consciousness. It is the essence of who I am. Say that with me. I am consciousness. It is the essence of who I am. Do you know that you are connected with the essence of who you are, and you are linked to the very source of all creation? When you know who you are, there's an absence of fear, a deep sense of trust. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm close. How about you? Trust is absence of fear. If you only live from the seen world, fear is inevitable. Fear is your companion, and it shows up as things like anxiety, worry, anger. So if you're having any of those experiences, you're living more in fear than in trust. When Jesus talks about faith, he's talking about a state of connectedness with your true being. So full screen, Randy, please. This is Eckhart Tolle. Through the present moment, you have access to the power of life itself, that which has traditionally been called God. As soon as you turn away from it, God ceases to be a reality in your life, and all you're left with is the mental concept of God. And, you know, he really is speaking to the idea that unless you keep a certain part of you aligned with that knowing, that it can be really easy to live in fear, to live in doubt, to live a life that is suffering and struggling. So when you silence your mind and become aware, the silence that's in your mind, you are that awareness disguised as a person. Faith is in praying. Become convinced that your prayer is automatically answered. Or as Jesus said, it is done unto you as you believe. Build your faith until it becomes a knowing. Honest doubting is normal. It's part of the experience. There are times it's impossible to see the goodness because you want so-and-so back or a certain situation back or something like that and get caught up in your own need to have something happen a certain way. Can you maintain an intimate relationship with the infinite while expressing doubt? I think you can. I think you can flip from one to the other. I think it's a growing experience, absolutely. Is your premise that there may or may not be God? I don't know. Perhaps the reason you doubt isn't because you are seeking answers or expressing your raw emotions. But think about this. Did doubting God allow you to think that you had some control in this event? That you can somehow change God's mind? I thought about that question. Yeah, you know, when something happens, like someone commits suicide or a terrible event happens, the first place that we go is, what could I have done to make a difference here? That seems to be the natural place to go. And yes, maybe there were things, but ultimately, if that was in fact what that particular soul was meant to do at that time, because that was what they desired or whatever, the mystery of life, then there's nothing you could have done. Doubting God allows you to ultimately go to God. Ultimately, you get to decide if you have faith in God as good or that God isn't the source and therefore ceases to be a higher power. Maybe he's just a dude. Are you going to spend your days doubting the principle of God or working with it? Are you ready to prove it to yourself? Say this with me. I am open to spirit in my life, and to whatever level you want to do that is okay, because God will meet you right where you are. And let's remind ourselves of that with this beautiful song, The Power of One.
Thank you.
Life can be a challenge. Life can seem impossible. It's never easy when so much is on the line. But you can make a difference. With courage, you can set things right. The gift to dream and make dreams real is yours and mine. The power of one begins with believing. It starts in the heart, then flows through the soul, and changes the world. Imagine how life would be when we stand in unity. Each of us holds the key to the power of one. Each of us is chosen. There's a mission just for you. Just look inside, you'll be surprised what you can do. The power of one begins with believing. It starts in the heart, then flows through the soul and changes the world. Imagine how life would be when we stand in unity. Each of us holds the key to the power of one. And one by one, we can make this world a much power of one begins with believing. It starts in the heart, then flows. of us holds the key. It's inside of you and me. Each of us holds the key to the power of one.